as we welcome our guest, as we first talked pre-draft, and now that the dust has settled, let's see what went down. He's a returning champ, draft analyst for the Believe Network, host of the First Team podcast on the Stadium platform. Like me, a 201 guy on the West Coast. Keep up on Twitter. Use the handle at Joe DeLeon. Joe D, appreciate the time. How's life treating you down there in SoCal?
Not too bad. The weather's starting to clear up a little bit and getting past the post-draft hangover, if you will. But always excited to hop on the show and appreciate you having me on.
So I'm going to say something, and I just want to get your reaction, because I'm a believer that the NFL kind of rules. I think we could be on the brink of World War III with all media outlets having the president on. But if word leaked out that Tom Brady might want to return to New England, they would break away from the war between Russia, China, and the United States and go to Adam Schefter. And to me, that's why the schedule release is a big deal. Joe, it matters to us. It's the NFL. Am I off base or spot on?
No, I think you're very spot on, and it's just one of the ways that we've seen the NFL successfully take another step in dominating another day on the calendar. And the NFL draft at one point wasn't the spectacle it is today, and it turned into such a highly televised event. And now the schedule release is something that there's anticipation at the start of the week, and people are, you know, to the point where they're leaking that information in hopes of getting it correct and building up followings. But no, absolutely. The fact that they can draw attention away from folks during the NHL and NBA playoffs is pretty significant. And I think that we're slowly approaching that point where they're going to dominate our level of attention throughout the course of the whole year.
Yeah, I explained to people there's a reason it generates $19 billion in revenue every year. All right, how about we get back to some sanity? Let's start with the Seahawks, obviously a big following here in the Northwest. They scored big in the Russell Wilson deal, got the fifth pick, landed Devin Witherspoon of Illinois at 20, Ohio State wideout Jackson Smith and Jigba. You know, we know it's a crapshoot, but Joe, is it possible Seattle might have landed the top guy at two different positions in this draft?
Absolutely. What they did in the first round was very significant, and I was a big fan of what their whole draft class was. But for them to come out of the first round with two important needs, and frankly, the first one was a bit unexpected. I wouldn't have thought that they'd be interested in one of the smaller corners amongst the top grouping, and if they were going to go corner, I thought it would have been Christian Gonzalez out of Oregon, but instead they go with Witherspoon. You're getting a very physical guy. You're getting a guy who is just sticky in coverage, is a very fluid mover, great tackler, and I think that fits the mentality that we've seen with Pete Carroll, with what they look to build their defense through. But on top of that, getting Jackson Smith and Jigba for what I would consider, Geno is a perfectly average quarterback. He has gotten to the point in his career where he gets the job done, and you might not win games because he has a massive performance, but he does enough to keep your team in the game. And the way that you're going to win on offense is by getting him more weapons and more receivers to be the reason why you win football games. So you've already got DK, you've already got Tyler Lockett, and then now you've got a fantastic slot receiver that I think is going to be truly dominant in the NFL because he's stepping into a situation where there's already two other guys that are going to command a lot more attention.
Talking NFL draft, Joe DeLeon, Believe Network. Raider fans, of course, exist in every nook and cranny of the planet. They lose Derek Carr to New Orleans, Jimmy G in from the Niners. They were a bad defensive team. I think Max Crosby had half their sacks. They bring in Tyree Wilson of Texas Tech, another lineman, Byron Young from Alabama. They lose Darren Waller at tight end, went to the Giants, take Notre Dame's Mike Mayer. What do you make of what Vegas did in the draft?
Yeah, I thought that they also were one of the teams that came out with a strong haul, and I look primarily at the top two picks that they had, and particularly filling needs that fit scheme. Tyree Wilson split a little bit because of a concern with his foot injury, apparently, but he'll probably be ready to go. He is a very big, powerful rusher, and he's somebody that I think day one can contribute, but also has tremendous upside to turn out to be a highly productive rusher to play opposite of Max Crosby. But for them to come around and get Michael Mayer, the Notre Dame tight end, who I was a very big fan of, who I thought should have been the first tight end selected in the first round, that's a steal for me, because one of the names thrown out there for Michael Mayer is Baby Gronk. And I'm not saying that Michael Mayer is Rob Gronkowski. He is maybe the light version of him, the Walmart version of him. Big, strong kid, great blocker, gives a ton of effort in everything he does. He is so physical in everything that he, every aspect of the game, even as a receiver, and he's got great hands. So having that type of a guy in Josh McDaniels' offense, I think is going to pay significant dividends. And early on for Jimmy Garoppolo, having that dump-off threat is going to really, really help them, and maybe that offense regain some life that they didn't have last year.
Now, every time I see him, I'm going to see Mike Walmart Mayer. I don't know how. obviously, because of Justin, a ton of Charger fans up here, new offensive coordinator Kellen Moore, and they took TCU's big target, Quentin Johnston, at 21. And in round four, his teammate, speedy guy, Darius Davis, they took USC's edge rusher. You know him down there, Tuli Palutu in round two. I'm a believer that if this team could tweak a few things, they could be a big threat. How you liking their draft day additions?
Yeah, I thought that the Chargers pulled out a decent grouping of the guys that they did select. You mentioned Tuli Palutu, who's a nice later on pick that they were able to secure in the second round. Diane Henley is a linebacker that I was very optimistic on. I think fantastic depth with Jordan McFadden, who is formerly an offensive tackle at Clemson, but is going to bump in and can play center or guard. But that Quentin Johnston selection, I wasn't super excited about that, admittedly. I wasn't totally sure if he was deserving of being a first-round pick, and I'm a little wary on what his production is going to be early on, because the offense that he's going into, the receivers that are already there are all bigger guys. So for him to be a big guy who plays like a small receiver, it's kind of an odd fit for me, but I'm sure that creatively they'll find ways, Kellen Moore will find ways to produce with that group. I just think for Chargers fans, they need to be realistic on the expectations for Johnston, that he's probably not going to be a guy who in his first year is going to be supremely productive, probably going to go under 1,000 yards. But maybe by year two or year three, he can be a strong contributor.
Got to get to my Giants. Obviously, a huge turnaround season. Joe Schoen as the GM. Brian Daboll as the coach. I was thinking O-line, linebacker. They went corner, Deontay Banks from Maryland. And I've read some folks kind of rave about their second-round pick, John Michael Schmidt, a four-year starting center from Minnesota. Jalin Hyatt, kind of interesting, a speed guy on the outside for Danny Dimes. What kind of score do you think the G-men made?
Yeah, I was a big fan of that draft class. For me, they were one of my biggest winners of the weekend, because the three guys that they took in the first three rounds were names that were brought up as possibilities with their first selection. So for them to come out of the draft with all three of those guys is a pretty significant haul. They benefited from maybe the NFL overthinking, especially someone like Jalin Hyatt. Deontay Banks in the first round, I think his play style is a little raw, but he's a very explosive linear athlete. He is going to plug in well for Wink Martindale's defense, the types of corners that have been productive very earlier in their careers as rookies. I can see a lot of comparisons for what Deontay Banks does with a lot of those different guys that played for the Baltimore Ravens. But coming back around with John Michael Schmitz in the second round, who's going to be your starting center, and he, amongst all the interior offensive linemen, had the highest floor amongst the whole grouping. And because of that, he's going to be able to play right away. And you needed an offensive lineman that was going to be able to contribute right away at least as long as it's at an average level. That's a significant takeaway from your class. And then lastly, Jalin Hyatt was considered to be a first-round receiver, split a little bit, but vertically is so explosive. And I really do believe that amongst the current grouping of guys, he's going to be a great deep threat. There does need to be some refinement on his route running. But what we saw at Tennessee this past year, I think it translates early on in the NFL.
Always important to keep up with your enemy, the division, the conference boss, of course, the Eagles, who last year almost won the whole thing, third best offense, eighth best defense, and I guess a lot of jokes about their obsession with Georgia, but because of a trade, they get at 9, Jalen Carter, then their pick, Nolan Smith, the linebacker, they got Bama starting tackle, Tyler Steen. I don't know, rich get richer here. Thoughts on them Eagles?
Yeah, I thought that the rest of the draft was decent. I think there were some questionable picks I didn't love, but their first round and them also getting Kelee Ringo on day 3 was very significant. Their pull in the first round, though, their haul is pretty scary, and I think that getting Jalen Carter, who is the best player in the class, is going to be so freakishly dominant in his first season as a rookie. And one of the concerns that was brought up with Jalen Carter is this an individual who's mature enough to be a professional athlete right now? Is this a guy who we have to worry about on a Thursday night leading into a game that he's not going to get himself into trouble? And I think that having his former teammates already there and then also two more guys in his draft class, the fact that there's four guys that he played with, that's going to help him. It's going to help him stay level-headed. Those guys are going to be watching his back. And I would also assume that the coaching staff is probably saying to those guys, look, Jalen can be so talented, you need to hold him accountable, and you know how to hold him accountable. We can only do so much when we're, you know, not around him. So I'm sure that there's going to be major efforts to keep him in check, because his talent's through the roof. If he can mature as a young individual, he can be somebody who is in the conversation for best defensive tackle in the NFL.
All right, couple final thoughts for Joe DeLeon, host of the First Team podcast. Check out the Stadium platform. Some felt, we talked about it earlier, that Christian Gonzalez might be a top 10 pick, first corner off the board. New England actually trades down from 14, lands at 17, still gets him. I've read some in the Boston media just raving about this. I see they've already penciled him in at right corner ahead of Jalen Jones. What do you make of him landing with the Patriots?
Yeah, he feels like a Patriots corner, and I think that there's optimism there, but I'm a little disappointed that they didn't take the opportunity to draft Broderick Jones, the Georgia offensive tackle. They've had so many inconsistencies in their offensive line, and I think with a young guy like Mac Jones and an offense that leaves a lot to be desired in terms of capabilities to produce big chunk yardage and be just consistently productive, you would want to maybe draft an offensive lineman in that spot. But Christian Gonzalez linearly is very explosive, and again, what we've seen from guys like Stephon Gilmore, the success that they've had, I wouldn't be shocked if Christian Gonzalez isn't in the Defensive Rookie of the Year running because he landed in such a good spot.
And the last thing, you know, we know the big splashes. The Panthers traded up for Bryce Young. Houston went bold, ended up going second and third. But from your chair, who might be a guy or two, maybe not creating the massive buzz on podcasts and shows like this or the major networks, but you're looking at and thinking, man, once this season starts, those teams are going to be really pleased.
Yeah, my big one that I keep bringing up is Tucker Kraft, the tight end from South Dakota State, who was selected by the Green Bay Packers. And he was actually the second tight end that they took, and they took him in the third round. Interesting strategy, but I compared it circumstantially to when the Baltimore Ravens took Hayden Hurst in the first round, and then they came back around and drafted Mark Andrews. And they took Luke Musgrave, who is a very explosive linear threat, doesn't change direction very well, and is consistently a little bit unhealthy. But what you then get now with Tucker Kraft is just a very well-rounded blocker, a very consistent route runner, good hands. I think not enough people were giving him enough attention because he was injured for part of this year for South Dakota State. So for him to end up in a spot where Jordan Love needs weapons, I think in a couple of years Tucker Kraft could be in that conversation as a top 10 tight end if things all go according to plan.
And the Rhode Island Ram from the FCS got his FCS guy in there. Well done, Joe. Folks, he's Joe DeLeon, Jersey guy who found his way west, part of the Believe Network. Check out the First Team podcast, the Stadium Platform on Twitter. That's at Stadium for Joe. It's at Joe DeLeon. Joe D, great info, great insight as always. And, of course, always a lot of fun having you. Thanks a million. Be well. And, of course, as the season starts to sneak up, look forward to talking again.
Of course, thanks for having me.